It's all in.
I know what gold does to men's souls.
You talk as though you struck it rich sometime or other, Pop. How about it? And what are you doing in here, the down and outer?
That's the gold. That's what it makes us.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor.
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
That guy in little coat.
Who told you can eat my cookies?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
You're in big trouble, though, pal. I eat pieces of shit like you for breakfast.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast?
No.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hello? Hello? Anybody home? Hey, think with fly fish.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Welcome to episode 44 of Cinema Crespediso. It is me, your host, Crespo. Just one word.
Just Crespo?
Just Crespo.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, man. What's up, Crespo?
That's me. How's it going? How's it sound, Drew? What do you think?
It's weird.
You think it's a little weird?
Yeah, I think it's a little weird.
That's my co-host, Drew Sacogburn. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing good. It's a wonderful episode 44, getting closer and closer to that episode 52 one-year mark.
Man,
we're going to have some sort of blowout. It's going to be crazy. I don't know what we're going to do. Probably nothing.
We should just get totally trashed on air.
Alcohol, Crespo Diso?
Yes.
A drunk Sodiso?
Yes. Cinema Drunk Sodiso.
That sounds like
the one-year episode.
Join us this week, returning guest. Very excited about this. The trivia master himself, the one and only Curtis Earth. Curtis!
Hello, Crespo.
Crespo.
Hey, Drew.
How's it going?
That was Curtis's idea.
I like when you have enough clout that you could just go by the one name.
Just say Crespo. I'm going to take it away from Elvis Crespo. And I think he's the only other popular Crespo out there. So,
yeah.
So take that, Elvis Crespo. Because it is only me now, right?
You are Crespo.
I am Crespo.
The one, the only.
We got a lot to talk about, a lot to do. First off, Curtis, thank you so much for coming back. We appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't miss it for the world. I was on episode, was it 25?
I believe so. The one entitled Trivia Madness.
Yes.
And I went back and listened to that one again for the Drewster Cogburn versus the world. What a tight game that was.
It was. Oh, it came down to the wire.
Came down to the tiebreaker, and then the tiebreaker question like was like $1.5 million or something ridiculous.
It was butt-clenching.
It was. Yeah. It was. Couldn't get a grease BB out of that thing that round. So I'm looking forward to the rematch in the second half. You guys know how that goes. But we got so much to talk about. So let's go ahead and finish this music up because we got the box office review. We got two movies to review.
Do.
Have you seen anything in theaters lately, Curtis?
I almost
said Drudas.
Let me
combine you guys.
The last thing I saw in the theater was something that you recommended.
Okay.
During episode 25.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's been a while.
Yeah. I can't think of anything.
That was a summertime. That was like around. That was right around when Man of Steel came out, like a week or two after or before.
Something like that.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about that as well.
Yeah.
What was the movie? You said you've got to see it. And I took your advice and went right out and saw it.
Did you remember enjoying it? Maybe not, if you can't
remember. Yeah, I remember texting you afterwards.
Oh, really?
So I think I gave you a little review about that.
Maybe I still have. I don't erase any texts. Well, we saw a couple movies this weekend.
Yes, we did.
So we're going to talk about those. Crespo Dome, I got movie news. Plenty of stuff to talk about. Got a couple of questions from the people, from the listeners. I think I got a Billy D question from our New York City senior correspondent, Billy D. But first, as always, we'll do the Netflix instant pick of the week. Drew's got the Crespo Diso randomizer 9000. Curtis, if you will, do us the favor.
All right.
Of going in there, picking one out, and passing it off to Drew so he can verify, make sure it's still there. And let me see. I'm going back now, looking through my texts between us and Nah, I'm not seeing anything about a movie. Maybe it was Facebook. Maybe a Facebook.
Maybe a Facebook
about
text.
It.
There's so many ways to communicate.
There are so many ways to communicate. These text messages are mostly about calling into the Curtis Earth Show, which I do every Thursday.
Yes, indeed. By 5 to 7 p.m. We have you on at 6:30.
At 6:30. It's always a good time. Talk about movies for about 10 minutes. Bullshit about movies. Try to remember not to cuss because we are on public radio.
Yes.
And I can't apparently tell people to go see a movie because that's a call to action, and that's not good. So, Drew gave us a thumbs up. Curtis, why don't you go ahead and tell the people the name of this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
I believe it's called Senna.
Senna.
And it's about an athlete, isn't it?
It is about a race car driver.
Race car driver.
So do you consider race car drivers athletes?
You know, no.
Okay.
I don't. No? I don't. I consider it race car driving, you know, a game, a sport, so to speak.
A skill.
A skill, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't know that you would call... driving a car fast, athletic.
It is supposed to take a lot of upper arm strength to be able to just hold the wheel at those speeds. But does that necessarily...
Yeah.
Okay. Just the tension from that.
You Dale don't. Earnhardt.
No, you see, what's his name? What's the fat one? Tony Stewart is the chunky guy?
They're all slobs.
Not all of them. Some of them are. You gotta be able to get through that window. The doors don't open and close, so they gotta be thin enough to at least get into the window.
Athletically entering and leaving the car.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
Okay, good enough to do that, right? Well, Senna is about was he South American? I believe it was a South American.
Brazil,
so there you go, South America. Race car driver, F1, open car, open wheel type of deal.
Yeah.
And he's from, it's from, I think, throughout the 80s, and it's about his, like, rise in the F1 ranks and how super popular he became, and he was, like, one of the best racers.
Yeah.
And it's all, it's like a decade of his career and of his life, and all shown through actual footage taken at that time. So whether it's home videos, videos from the actual races, a lot of news footage,
right,
interviews from those time periods. The story is told chronologically, but nothing new, nothing added, no talking heads, just all original footage being
put
together.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
And the most fascinating part is when they started putting cameras on the cars. So you could see some of the actual racing footage from his perspective going down, like taking some of these crazy turns. And it's really fascinating. Even if you don't like racing, I'm not a racing guy.
No, I'm not either. But I know several people that are dying to go to those test tracks where you can get up to 150, 200 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be harrowing to me.
It does sound really scary, right?
It sounds like a lot of fun, though.
So you're going 200 miles an hour towards a wall.
Yeah, you either think of it that way, like that sounds like you're one of those adrenaline junkies.
Well, I'm
think, nah.
Right. I'm more of a not kind of guy.
Yeah, I still want to jump out of an airplane. So,
Some reason, I don't know. I find that safer than getting in a giant steel box and traveling 200 miles. With me inside traveling 200 miles.
How about getting in a giant steel box that climbs a couple thousand feet up in the air and then jumping out of that steel box?
Well, when I jump out, then I'm free. I'm not in something.
And you come plummeting back to the earth.
People have crashed back to the earth, just hit the ground and have survived.
Dude,
try doing that inside a car coming back down to the earth. You're not going to survive that.
Really funny thing I heard, I guess, last Monday on the news or something.
Uh-huh.
Two airplanes that were going up to...
Oh, yeah, the two skydiving planes.
Yeah, two skydiving. They collided in midair. Guess what? Everybody survived.
Everyone survived.
They all had parachutes.
Yeah.
Everybody had a parachute on, so they all survived.
Two planes full of skydivers.
Yep. Collided midair.
So they all just jumped out?
Yep.
That's a movie right there.
That is a movie right there. That will happen one day, probably.
Yeah.
I'll see that movie.
Yeah, there was a movie I saw one time.
Mm-hmm.
And this sums up heights for me.
Okay.
I don't even like going to a balcony that's, at a hotel that's, more than 6 or 7 stories high.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even get close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want, a piece of space junk to hit me in the head and then I fall down. You know what I mean? Or crazy thing happens,
Did something happen to trigger that, or you were just never? I think, most humans are just naturally not comfortable with heights like that.
When I have scary dreams, it usually entails me falling off a cliff or falling from a plane when the chute doesn't work.
But
this one movie I saw was one of the most scariest things, and it was simply, you might be able to tell the movie just from this scenario that that happened, or this plot line, but these guys are all going camping.
Okay.
And they're on top of a mountain or something like that, or, a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And the one guy goes, oh my God, something's happened to Joe or whatever. And so one of the other guys comes by to say, what happened? Did he fall? And he goes, yeah, he fell right off. and he looks over, and then the guy pushes that guy off.
Oh, really?
He already pushed Joe off. Now he pushes this guy off.
They tricked him.
And then another guy comes by to go, what's happening over here? He goes, he just fell off the thing. He looks over and then pushes that guy off.
Like, that's awesome. It's like a running joke.
Yeah, it sounds like a comedy.
No, it's not a comedy. It was like scariest.
If you have a fear of heights, hey, definitely.
Because, I mean, not
so
that
cruel.
Yeah, I'm not condoning this kind of, I don't want to give this thought to people.
Trickery.
It's a great way to kill somebody.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, there's like.
Push off the edge of the mountain.
Yeah. You know, he slipped.
There's just a story about that. There was a newlywed went out like hiking or something. And she pushed him off a mountain and killed him. And then, like, she just went home and reported him missing. And then, like, they found the body a few days later. But then they found out she really just pushed
him. But
now,
if she would have just used her cell phone right there at the site. And
like, oh, he fell. I was here.
Yeah. That perfect crime.
She probably tried to get a little fancy with it.
But that happens every once in a while right here in Orlando.
Yeah.
You know, like on a cruise ship or at a hotel, someone pushes the other one off.
Man overboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, accidents happen. Accidents, quotes accidents. Speaking of accidents happening, Senna does...
I like how you tied that back.
Thank you very much. Yes. I had to bring it back. Senna does end with an accident. There's a reason why this guy's career ended. Little Dale Earnhardt.
Oh.
And like I said, it's a lot of original footage and footage of, you know, from the time period. So... It's a little snuffy.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Yeah, because it's about a real life death and
yeah.
And like when they get to the day of the race and you know this is the day, it's like it gets pretty dreadful towards the end there. But it's still a fascinating movie. A really well made documentary. And I like that it got picked now. This was in the bag for like I don't know how long, and it's good that it got picked now because we just saw Rush a few weeks ago.
Yeah, which was not bad at all.
It was a pretty good movie about real F1 race car drivers, and some dude had a crazy accident. The car exploded, and he was like in a burning inferno of 800 degrees for like a full minute. Crazy, crazy stuff. So, you know, driving's dangerous, man.
Yeah.
Those guys got to be careful.
Yeah, no doubt.
For sure. Drew's got to get the cat, this random cat that just ran into the studio. We have this doggy door. It came with the studio.
Wait, are you kidding me?
No, yeah,
that cat just came in from outside?
So Drew had to corral it out of here. We have cats just wander in and out.
Do you ever get like possums coming in here?
Every now and then.
Really?
Yeah, but they're cool though.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you just give them, they just want a little bit of food. Give them some food. They look at you, and then they look out the buck at the
great.
Little door. Yeah, so thank you, Drew, for getting rid of the cat.
Yeah, it happens, man.
No
time
problem.
To time.
All right, so now we can get into the box office review for the weekend. Drew, what do you got there with the old box office movie?
All right, let's start off at number 7 this week. We have 12 Years a Slave. That had a weekend gross of $6.6 million. Total gross of $17.34 on a budget of probably not that much.
I found a $20 million budget.
That sounds about right.
So $20 million. 12 Years a Slave, Curtis, finally expanding to more theaters. It played like New York and L.A. a couple weeks ago.
Right.
Then they added Chicago and D.C., you know. And then last week, it played at the Enzion.
Right.
400 screens across the country. This week, it's what?
This week, it increased by 734, so we're at
1,100 screens around the country. So now it's a whole bunch of theaters around town. But not at every theater, though. Nope. I would have thought it would have played. Are you going to cut yourself in the eye with the scissors? Why are you swinging around scissors like
perhaps.
Would you mind not doing that right by your guest?
I'm going to throw them at you, dude. Don't worry.
You can throw them at me, but just keep them away from Curtis. Thank you. Appreciate
Thank you
that.
So much.
You guys just swinging scissors around like a freaking 4-year-old.
I get bored, man.
It's a 4-year-old who just saw 12 Years a Slave with that kind of mentality. He would have been swinging scissors in the theater while Chewie Atoji for is getting whipped for just being like, I'm a free man.
Crespo, I like when movies start out on a small, you know, release, kind of a, like you said, 300-400 screens.
Yeah, and the slow
builds.
Build.
It starts feeding off its own word of mouth, and that it's building like this. And
it has to,
and it has to increase.
It's not like a movie, like a superhero movie, where like, all right, we can put this in 3,500 screens across the country, and people are just gonna turn out to see it because everyone wants to see the new Spider-Man, right. New whatever. You know, this is a slavery movie. You gotta convince people to go see
it.
It's
not gonna be on IMAX.
Exactly. Ooh. Right. So it's specific releases to get the right people talking about it, and then slowly yet surely everyone starts talking about it. And then by the time the Oscars come around, forget about it. Everyone will be talking about this movie because it's gonna be nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, maybe even Best Supporting Actor. I mean, there's a lot to like about this movie. Best score.
Well, who did the score?
Hans Zimmer.
Oh, he's great.
And he did a very interesting job with this movie. Very weird score at times, where there are moments where it's like, bom, 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 very bombastic and almost like a horror film, you know, for the appropriate moments where it's like a very dark scene. And, you know, if think about the context of this movie, for the darker scenes, you know, for what's going on. And then the music is really in your face. And what actually I found that it, even though it was kind of weird and strange, it made the movie more mainstream-ish.
Okay.
A little easier to get into because you're becoming more aware that you are watching a movie. It's not like it's in your face, all these horrors. But it's not like so arty that it's just like, I don't know. There's still things that remind you, okay, this is a movie. There are stylistic choices.
Right, there's components that everyone will be familiar with.
Yes, yes. So there's like touchstones that help people get through it. And so at the end of the day, it's a very well-made movie. And it is, don't want to say entertaining or enjoyable, but it is worth watching.
Right.
I mean, some of it is damn pretty, too.
Some of it's gorgeous.
Some of the scenes where it's just like, here is, like, the southern wilderness.
The plantations, you know, just the natural beauty of the south of Louisiana. A lot of it was shot on location in Louisiana on 35mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, it did absolutely look beautiful. The music, again, is great. The acting is all fantastic. It's world-class all around, you know. Right. So it's definitely, if you enjoy well-made movies, it's definitely worth seeing at least once. It's going to be something
it's
where
rough,
people are going to be talking about this movie for a while in the same terms as, like, Schindler's List. And Roots and stuff like that. These kind of cultural touchstones that are, they talk about tough material, but in a very intelligent and smart and thoughtful way, you know.
Right.
And it's good. I would definitely recommend people see this movie.
Steve McQueen directed it.
Yes.
What has he done before?
He's done two smaller movies. One is a strictly British production called Hunger, and it's one of Michael Fassbender's first roles, where he played Bobby Sands. It's another real life story.
I know Bobby
you know
Sands.
The Bobby Sands story and the hunger strike.
Hunger strike in Ireland.
Yes, absolutely. So it's a story about that and that guy. Very, very well made movie. That one's very arty though, because McQueen started as a visual artist and like an installation artist and stuff like that, and doing galleries, and then he made the foray into films.
Oh, okay.
So Hunger was his first one. So it has a lot of very, you know, kind of pretentious stuff, but still it's nice looking and it's well made. And at the end of the day, it's a good movie. His follow-up was also with Michael Fassbender, that Shame movie, where he was a guy in New York City.
Sex addict.
Who was a sex addict, and he was like always trying to get laid, and it's very unfulfilling. And then his like sister comes live with him and things get really creepy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Odd sophomore effort.
Exactly.
But still with the Fassbender.
Still with the Fassbender, and also, again, very arty and very well reviewed when it came out. But they're both very small movies that a lot of people haven't seen. So this is going to be by far his biggest movie. $17 million total already. At this pace, I can see it getting to like $70, $80 million on the long run. By the time we get to Christmas, January, people are going to end up seeing this thing. And they're going to be talking about it because it's... You're not going to forget it. If you've seen the movie, you're not forgetting it.
Okay. No, not at all.
You know, would you also tell people, like, check it out in theaters, Drew? How would you feel? Would you be like, wait for a red box?
I mean, it all depends on how you feel most comfortable watching movies. Uh-huh. Because this is one of the tougher movies to watch.
It's a tough one. There were,
people
were crying in that one.
Yeah, there are definitely some scenes that are a little difficult to watch.
Real quick, when I sat down to watch the movie, because that's all I've heard, too. You know, it's a tearjerker. It's heart-wrenching. I was like, and I cry a lot during movies. Like, I'm not going to cry during this fucking movie. I'm going to try to be as cold as I can while I watch this thing aesthetically, you know, whatever. And I did it. And I did do it. But all the way at the very end, like the one of the very, very last scenes, I'm not going to say what the image was, but something happened where I was like, oh, I almost felt it.
Yeah.
I almost felt the welling in the eyes. I was like, oh.
In the chin.
Yeah. I was like, no. And I did it. And I didn't cry.
Good job, Chris.
So, yeah, thank you. That is a personal victory because I did cry at the end of Terminator 2. So,
yeah.
I'm getting better at this stuff.
You know, there is a commonality I find among guys when it comes to crying at the theater.
Uh-huh.
Especially if you're at the theater with a woman. And I thought this was just me.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite comedians is Bill Burr.
Yes.
And he talks about, he goes, I keep pushing this manhood stuff down into my gut till it poisons my soul. He goes, I go to a movie the other day with my girlfriend. It's one of the most heartbreaking scenes. I feel like crying. She's crying. What do I do? I make a joke. Like a joke, so insensitive.
Yeah.
And she goes, don't you have a heart? Yeah, I have a heart. I just can't let you know it.
You know, like, exactly.
Yeah, and I, right? You know, I find myself sometimes, I remember watching Brian's song when I was a kid.
Notorious for making men cry.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I can remember my sister and I were watching it, and I remember saying to her, you know, making some terrible joke.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because I felt just it because happening. Felt like, it, yeah. This stuff is happening to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. What is this? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Why is there water coming out of my eyes? I don't understand.
Why am I feeling emotions?
Yeah, I can't remember the last time that's happened, though. I know it. I think it was probably Schindler's List.
Oh, that's a while
at
ago.
At the end when he's, you know, saying, look at this ring. I could have
saved more people.
Saved more
yeah.
people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That really got me.
Yeah, it's this movie's a lot like that, where it's, you know, just it can get to you, if, you know, and it won't even take that much to get. Yeah. I had to fight it to like not let it break me down.
It's
you know?
Amazing what stays with you, though.
Yeah,
with me, in this case, I've seen a lot of movies,
mm-hmm.
and I've seen a lot of difficult scenes,
mm-hmm.
and there's certain movie scenes that will never leave my psyche, will never go away, that. That image of them beating Joe Pesci's brother up and throwing him
in the casino?
Yeah. And he's like...
That gets me.
Nicky, he's still breathing.
No, yeah, please, stop. Yeah. And he's begging them and he's crying.
I can't get that out of my head.
It's brutal.
This day.
And that's brutal because Joe Pesci's character the whole time is such a brutal badass to everyone.
Right.
And then you see him in his final moments where he's crying and vulnerable
like
and sobbing and it's pathetic and it's heartbreaking. And then especially if you got brothers or siblings, like, oh, I can relate to, you know... Just the raw emotion of seeing your brother beaten to death in front of you.
Yeah, with a bat.
How horrible is that?
Like, so that's one thing that will stay. I've seen other horrible things that they don't stay in my head.
And
so
why do they? It is weird, right?
Is that,
certain things just click like that. 12 Years a Slave will probably have a thing or two.
Oh, yeah.
For different people,
no,
it'll be
to watch it.
It'll be different things for different people.
It will be.
Yeah. But it's all there, though. It's a lot of very interesting stuff. And it's... impeccably cast. I do want to move on, but real quick, I gotta mention the cast because we got Chiwetel Ejiofor as the lead.
Chiwetel Ejiofor,
best actor winner right there.
Michael Fassbender.
Who he was the sadistic plantation owner, and he's incredible. He really.
Brad
is.
Pitt.
Brad Pitt's fantastic.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
He's awesome. All these guys playing Southerners too.
Paul Dano.
You know Paul Dano, the younger guy from Little Miss Sunshine, the dude who wouldn't speak.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was in There Will Be Blood and a bunch of other stuff since then. That guy, he's very good.
Sarah Paulson?
She's the cold, mean bitch of a wife, Fassbender's wife. Oh, she's good.
Alfre Woodard.
Quick story. I hung out at Alfre Woodard's house, Oscar award winning Alfre Woodard.
I know the story.
I hung out at her house in LA while she was in the UK. She has no idea who I am or that I was there for a couple of days.
That's creepy that she has no idea you're at her house.
No idea. No idea.
What? The alarm wasn't set off. You got in there somehow.
This is like 8 years ago, so I feel comfortable putting the story out there. I'm in LA visiting a friend. For like 4 or 5 days, and for a couple of nights, we hung out with one of his friends who was house sitting, and the house happened to be Alfre Woodard's house, and so I had a picture of myself like holding her Oscars and shit.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, you know, we were using her fireplace and drinking all her wine and watching Entourage over there. I was in L.A. watching Entourage. How stupid is that?
You were styling.
Yeah, it was fun. So I feel like now I always have a personal connection to Alfre Woodard.
I have like no stories like that.
Me
the closest I can come is. I dated for a short time when I was 14.
Uh-huh.
If you want to call it dating back then, going to the mall and the beach.
Yeah, that's dating.
On Long Island, Lori Loughlin, who you might remember.
Oh, I know. That's the from Full House.
Full House.
Yeah. Well, what's her name on the show? Was it not Rachel?
No.
Rebecca? Becky?
Aunt Becky. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice.
She was a looker.
She
man.
Was like a model then. She wasn't really in doing anything.
Yeah,
acting-wise.
She was still. Yeah. She was still good. Kind of, yeah. Good job, Curtis.
Yeah, that was a great summer.
Ruined that for everyone. Great
seriously.
Summer. So 12 Years a Slave. Great cast. Paul Giamatti. You didn't even mention him.
Yeah, I was going to.
You're going to, yeah.
I love Paul Giamatti.
He's fantastic.
I want to watch him in anything.
And he's
great. And he's only in the movie for like 2 minutes.
Well, a lot of these actors are only in it for like 2 or 3 scenes. Fassbender's in it a lot, but everyone else, like two or three
Brad
scenes.
Brad Pitt's not in it for that long.
He's
not
in it for like
Benedict
2 scenes.
Cumberbatch.
But they're all important roles.
Yeah.
I do want to put out there, though, also real quick, I did have one nitpick about the movie. Depending if you might be a nitpick, it might be a big deal, depending on your perspective.
What was that?
The movie's called 12 Years a Slave.
Uh-huh.
Did not feel like 12 years to me.
They really did.
To me, it was like it felt like a year.
Maybe.
You know?
And it's a true story, right?
Absolutely, 100% true story. That's the thing. The guy was an educated man, so when he got out of there, he was able to write down his memoir. Mm. And then later, like in the 1850s or 1860s, some scholars took the memoir, went back, and they fact checked everything, and they're like, "This thing's 100% accurate," which makes it so incredible because it was written in like the 1850s.
Right.
So it's a firsthand account of slavery at that time in Louisiana, and so that's why this is like it's all true.
I love movies like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm more of a, you know, like even the books I read are more, you know, they're like how-to books or factual books,
right?
History nonfiction, books, whatever, yeah. Nonfiction type thing. I could have said nonfiction.
Well, yeah, it makes sense. So.
But yeah,
well, this is nonfiction. The memoir, it's a nonfiction.
Like I just read. I just watched a movie. It came out in 2011, I think. It was about the. Devastation of Pompeii, you know, uh-huh. 80, 79, yeah. Vesuvius.
The new Pompeii movie comes out soon.
They're making one like an actual, like, no, but big budget, but, like, but crazy it looks like CGI looking.
It looks like 300 meets Pompeii.
Yeah.
Oh, it's that type of movie. Everybody's ripped.
And, yeah, yeah, everybody's ripped in slow motion fighting.
Slow motion. Yeah. Exactly.
It's going to be ridiculous.
I forgot why I brought that up.
Because that's what you're into. You're into a lot of the non-fictional type stuff.
Yeah, those kind of things. It's fascinating movie.
Well, then this is definitely the way to go for you. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to ruin your night.
No, but you're not going to feel all that great.
You may want to go get ice cream afterwards.
I remember why I brought it up, because Pliny the Younger, I think that's how you say his name,
uh-huh.
his father was a poet,
mm-hmm.
Pliny the Elder,
uh-huh.
and actually rode his boat into the... devastation to get a closer look and maybe help someone out. All boats were taken off from there when this thing started shooting ash.
Crazy.
And so Pliny the Younger wrote all about it, you know, as it was happening.
Nice.
So you have that firsthand.
He reported it.
Yeah.
That's firsthand. That's an eye reporter. Yeah. CNN would call him an eye reporter.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's awesome. Someone had to do it. Someone has to have the balls and the lack of brains. Like, I'm going to record this.
Yeah.
Because it'll make me famous. That's what I was thinking. It's like, this is going to make me famous.
Yeah.
And it did. We're talking about him now.
We're talking about him now. That's exactly. AD 79.
Pliny the Elder?
Pliny the Elder.
Something like that.
And Pliny the Younger. Pliny the Younger is the one who wrote down the whole account of everything that happened.
Oh, okay. Someone had to get it down.
Yeah.
All right. So 12 Years a Slave. We both enjoyed it. Right, Drew?
Fantastic.
We both said go see it in the theater. It did not feel like 12 years. It felt more like 12 months a slave.
The only way, at the end, I was like, wait a minute, does he have a couple gray hairs, or is that just
exactly
dirt?
At the end, it was like he had gray hairs in his head. It was like,
or was it just dirt? It could have been just dirt.
No,
I mean, he was working in the clay field at the time.
He did have some grays at the end there, so it felt like they could have done a better job of making it feel like it was 12 years. But other than that, fantastic.
Yeah, they probably had to pop out a couple of millions for the cameos of Brad Pitt and all these other guys, so they didn't have a makeup person.
Well, Brad Pitt, I'm sure he did it for scale. Super cheap because it's his production company co-produced it. B. It's like four or five.
You know what? He probably
companies.
Didn't even charge himself. He was like, you know what? I'm just going to hop in this motherfucker.
I'm going to make whatever money it makes theatrically
on the back end
as a producer. Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know, if he could. Yeah, but actors still have to get paid though. Union.
Legally.
Yeah. So you get scale. 20 grand, you know, whatever. All right, let's get into the rest of the top five here. We got some more to go.
Number five this week, Ender's Game, $10.25 million, total gross of 44 and a budget of 110.
It's going to have to make its money internationally for them to feel good about this one. It's probably going to barely get to 100 million here in America. But if you make another 200 international, I'm sure he'll be happy. This is one I told you on your show, Curtis.
Right, Thursday, we're talking about it's kind of like a space academy, and they're training kids to become, you know, the next leader of the...
Absolutely, next leader of the fleets, and it's all a lot of very deep questions about warfare, the ethics of war, and, you know, training children, et cetera, et cetera. It's headier than you would expect from just looking at the trailers and commercials. You know?
Okay.
So definitely recommend people checking that one. We reviewed that. That came out last week, right, Drew?
Correct.
So you can check out that review from last week's episode, and also my review on chriscrespo.com.
Number four this week, we have Last Vegas. Had a weekend gross of $11.1 million, total gross of 33.5 and a budget of 28.
So my brother saw this movie.
Oh, really? He saw the old men go party in Vegas?
My brother saw it because he was spending the day in the movie theater, just theater hopping.
He doesn't go by the name Crespo as well, does he?
No.
Okay.
No,
there's only one Crespo.
There's only one Crespo.
Yes.
Crespo in lights.
Crespo.
No, he'll soon be a Chef Crespo, though. So
good.
People will know him by that way one day. But he went and saw this, and he said it was all right. His review confirmed what I've read about this movie in Las Vegas, about, you know, De Niro. Who was, I always forget. De Niro,
Morgan
Freeman,
Klein, Robert De Niro, Kevin Klein, and Michael Douglas.
And Michael Douglas. Those four old guys get together to go to Las Vegas and party for a weekend as old men. And I've read that it's okay.
Yeah.
It's amusing. You're not going to laugh out loud very much, but you're not going to be like, oh, that was terrible.
Right.
You know?
That's pretty much the review my uncle just gave me on the ride here. I was talking to my uncle up on in New York, and he doesn't go to the movies often, but he just saw this. He said, you know, it's not a laugh a minute, but when they do say something funny, it's really funny.
My brother kind of said something like that. He was like, there were a couple times where I was like, oh, that's a good joke, you know, but for the most part, it's just a pretty safe movie.
Yeah.
So definitely it's going to be a red box for us, you know, maybe even HBO.
Oh, HBO all the way.
Whenever we get around to watching it one day. So moving on.
Number three this week, Free Birds had a weekend gross of $11.18 million. Total gross of $30.19 on a budget of $55. Animated turkeys.
Animated turkeys.
For Thanksgiving.
Very poorly reviewed film.
It's just something to take the kids to.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a babysitting movie.
It is a babysitting movie. It's like, exactly. Sit in the back of the theater and play on your phone while your kid veggies out in front of this piece of shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Oh, God.
Let's just get it. Let's move on.
All right, number two this week.
Because we got another movie to talk about.
Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa. Weekend gross at 11.3. Total 78.8. Budget of 15. That's a moneymaker.
That's what a moneymaker looks like. $50 million budget, $78 million total.
Well, this is coming off of the character Johnny Knoxville.
That he did for Jackass.
Which is a funny character. I can't imagine a whole movie of this, but it sounds like a Borat thing.
It is a bit stretched. It does help that it's not just him, that they have this kid, this 10-year-old kid with him.
Right.
With an earpiece. That they're just feeding lines to. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and the kid's good. Like, he listens to it, and he's good at repeating the line. And
is
like,
he really 10, or does he look like 10, but he's really 8?
No, he's 10.
Yeah, he's legit a kid.
Yeah, it's a kid.
Yeah, and they're making him say some pretty crazy stuff and do some crazy things.
Yeah.
So that I think that's even more worth it. The best parts of the movie are the kid and the reactions of all the people to what Johnny Knoxville is doing. He comes third in his own movie in terms of what's actually funny about it. He's just a catalyst to make the other actual funny things happen, you know, which is still a skill.
Right, that's what he normally does.
Yeah, it is what he normally does. So, and it's making the money and it's worth it. Again, my brother saw this one, said it was okay.
Chef's Bo.
There you go. The Chef's Bo Crespo connection. All right, let's get to the number one movie.
All right, number one movie this week, Thor the Dark World.
Woo! Thor!
Weekend gross of $86.1 million.
Hot damn.
Same as the total budget of $170.
Hot damn, $86 million. That's a lot more than first one only had like a $60 million opening weekend.
Exactly.
I don't understand. Like, explain the Thor plot line to me. You know, he became. It was Donald Blake, right?
You have to talk to that. He's a comic book guy.
They do not go into the whole human part.
Yeah, they don't.
In the comic books, yes, there's the dude, and he finds the staff, and he does it, and boom, all of a sudden he has, you know, Mjolnir in his hands.
Then
Odin comes down, and okay, you are the next recipient, you're the next worthy successor, blah, 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 we found you on Earth. Here are all the nine realms, blah, 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 now you're Thor.
Okay.
In the movies, it's more like
he's actually the son of Odin.
Yeah, no, he's like the son of Odin. Like
it's more like the original Norse,
like the Norse god Thor is who he is. It's just he's not a god per se. He just comes from another realm.
Right.
And when he comes to Earth, obviously he has superpowers because he's from, you know, he's an alien basically.
Right, right.
So people think he's a god. Blah blah blah. Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
Okay.
But now he's a superhero.
So they did simplify it from comic book to movie.
Right.
He's just
Thor.
He just is.
Yeah. He is Thor.
He was born and he said, I am.
So if he's got the human element too.
Well, he just happens to look human.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay.
Apparently, in this.
And he falls in love with humans.
Yeah. In this one, they kind of.
Can he take a dump?
I assume
probably,
so.
Probably. Because in this
a big Thor like dump too, I would imagine. One that would destroy human toilets.
In this movie. They do kind of go into like what Thor is,
right?
And you know, I guess he's just, you know, they're beings just like us. They are born, they die, except their lifespans are like 5,000 years.
Yeah,
that's all. That's the only difference.
So we saw Thor, the Dark World,
Thor.
We saw it, and Drew, you're the comic book guy. Why don't you take the lead on this one? What'd you think of the first Thor? Real quick, real super quick. Like it? Didn't like it? Passable? Not passable?
I like Mr. Skarsgård in him. He's always fantastic.
So that's what you get out of the first story. You like Skarsgård.
Yeah.
You like one of the side characters.
Yep.
Uh-huh. All right, so what, with the second movie, here we go.
I almost like the rest of the story around mm-hmm. what was actually happening. Like the stuff with the Nine Realms I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
The stuff with like the bending physics and what did they call it?
The Convergence.
The Convergence.
Remember Curtis May, December, May.
Yeah.
December 2012, all the planets lined up and something crazy was supposed to happen for a Mayan calendar. That plot line's kind of happening in the Thor movie where all the realms, they're lining up, and when they do, like, portals open up between them, so, like, gravity gets all screwed up on Earth in certain spots, and that is actually pretty
That kind of stuff I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was just, Chris Hemsworth running around with a freaking hammer.
And looking into Natalie Portman's eyes lovingly.
Yeah.
And her looking back.
And for no reason at all, him taking off his shirt and wiping himself down with a wet rag.
No, there was a reason. There was a reason. And that reason was all those girls that we saw in the movie coming in as a group together. Guys.
Correct.
Bunch of girls showed up to see Thor. Why would girls go see
To see Chris Hemsworth with his shirt off.
With his shirt. So they gave him what they wanted. Good for them.
Yeah.
And they got their money.
Whatever floats your boat.
So it is I would say it is an improvement over the first one.
Definitely.
It's more entertaining than the first one. It felt to me almost at parts, though, with the design of the aliens that they're fighting, because they're fighting like some alien race called the Dark Elves or whatever. It felt Dark like Elves. Thor versus Star Trek Deep Space Nine,
right.
In a way.
Yeah, kind of.
And as I was watching the movie, I realized this is one of the few movies where the genre bending is so crazy, because the Thor story, you got Norse mythology, but then you're mixing a lot of science fiction with, you know, gravity and all this stuff happening. And
then you're like this weird interdimensional alien beings with giant spaceships.
Right, exactly. So it's Norse, it's sci-fi and it's fantasy because there's monsters and sword battles like Lord of the Rings style. It's mixing up all these things together. So it's incredible that it even works at all, actually.
What can kill Thor?
About anything?
I think a sword to the heart will get him.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So he's...
The majority of his quote-unquote superpowers come from in the movies, him being interdimensional. So, you know, he has more natural resistance and he's a little bit stronger. But it all comes from the hammer. I mean, he himself has pretty much no powers whatsoever. It's the freaking hammer that he wields.
Yeah, it's not like he flies. He doesn't fly. He throws his hammer and then he just holds on for dear life.
Yeah.
And then the hammer is taking him where he wants to go.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably want to sleep with that close to you if you're Thor.
Exactly. He has some sort of ability where it can come.
It always
to him.
And there's a couple times where it happens. and they kind of poke fun at it. You know.
Oh, what are you trying?
Well, yeah, because like during some of the fights, he's going in between dimensions, and the Thor's and his hammer's trying to find him all over again.
Yeah,
so
all
of a sudden, you know, he leaps through a wormhole fighting this dude, and now his hammer has to launch off out of the Earth's orbit to whatever weird ass planet he's on now.
Oh yeah, that was funny.
Across the galaxy, because
his hammer had to leave Earth. It was weird.
Because apparently the hammer couldn't go through the wormhole.
It's pretty weird.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty talented, well constructed hammer.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
If it's lasted all this time.
It's interdimensional.
Yeah.
You know what I don't like, guys? I don't enjoy movies where they have fighting action, and I'm gonna give you an example.
Yep.
The last Superman that came out.
Okay.
You know how they're fighting in the streets and they're going into buildings?
Lots of destruction.
Collateral damage.
But they're okay.
Yeah.
They're like, why even put it all in there if they're always going
to
be okay?
To give you something to look at, you know.
But I think it was too much. After a while, you get dissent. All right, it's another fight scene. Let me get some popcorn.
Man of Steel, for some reason, caused that discussion. For some reason, that was a straw that broke the camel's back when it came to people seeing fight scenes like that. And apparently, they're going to address that as part of the story for the upcoming Superman vs. Batman movie. I think Batman may go up to Superman and be like, yo, what about all that destruction when he fought Zod? You know, is it worth it? Blah, blah. I think they're actually going to turn that into a story element now because it did
cause
a lot of...
They pretty much destroyed Metropolis.
Yeah, so people want to be like, what the
millions
hell?
Of people died in that fight.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Did they?
Yes.
It's not addressed, just like you're saying.
Right.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. In this one, Thor, there's a similar amount of destruction. But again, this movie is also about random alien race wanting to control the universe by destroying it. I never understood that plot line, yet it's the one that every one of these movies goes to. Whenever you want to take over the world, I have to destroy it first.
Yeah.
What are you ruling then if it's all destroyed?
They want to rule over the ashes.
So Thor is just Thor. I always thought he was the dumbest of the superheroes. The movie itself is entertaining enough, but I would like wait to the red box.
I just had a brilliant idea.
Go
for it. I don't know.
You want to put it out there for the people?
I'm going to put it out there.
Or do you want to save it? Okay, go for it.
A Doors tribute band where everyone dresses up like Thor.
The Thors?
Nice.
Thors. All right, there you go.
I like it.
I do like that. And then between songs, they all talk like, thou thus enjoyeth the changeling. Dun, 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 dun. All right, so there you go. That's your box office review. Thor. Oh, by the way, Thor made $240 million internationally, so it's at $327 million worldwide.
So it'll break half a billion, won't it?
It'll break half a billion. It'll get to about $600 million, maybe even $700 worldwide. That's the Avengers bump.
Wow.
So look for that Thor 3. Thors. The Thors. Thor 3. The Thors.
The Thoring.
New movies coming out. Man, we were just talking about it too. Man of Steel comes out on Tuesday on DVD. So people can, if you haven't seen it, you can finally check it out, see what all the destruction is about.
Yeah.
Turbo, the movie, animated movie about the slug that goes really fast.
Snail.
Or a snail. I'm sorry, a snail. Snail.
It has a shell.
It has a shell. Yeah, it's still disgusting.
Slug is homeless. It's still, snail is not.
There you go. So if you want to check that out, that's coming out on Tuesday. Prince Avalanche, remember that movie, Drew?
Yeah, yes, I did.
The Paul Rudd, Emile Hirsch, it's this little movie about a couple of guys. Who it's in the 80s, like there's a big forest fire, so they're helping to repair the park by what their job is. They're painting the lines on the road, the little yellow lines,
right?
And they have to go through like 800 miles of road to do it. So it's two guys doing it, and it's a very little movie, but it's very well made.
It's weird.
It's a weird little movie.
Little character piece.
Yeah,
yeah. Are they ex-cons or something like that?
Nope.
Where they
just
have to
regular
do government parole.
Regular dudes. One guy. Stuff. One guy seems to be. They're questioning whether he's like running away from real life, like his responsibilities to his wife and his family. And then the guy that is with him is like his wife's brother, and he's like aimless, and he's a younger guy. He's just always trying to think about getting laid.
Right.
So he's lost in life. So they're forced. These two characters are forced together, and they're forced to talk to each other. And it's very good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just. Very small, two characters, and they're
dialogue
just talking,
driven.
Dialogue-driven, but by the end, it's like, oh, that's a satisfying movie. Prince Avalanche, that's some good stuff. That'll be on, like, the Redbox and whatever. And there's this Canadian movie I saw at the film festival, Florida Film Festival, I Declare War, where it's about two kids playing, like, two sets of kids playing, like, war games in the woods, like, Manhunt style, but whenever they, like, have, they have, like, stick machine guns, whenever they go, that, and pretend to shoot each other, then it switches over to them with real machine guns, and then they're, like, actually shooting each other and stuff, and it's a weird blending of, like, fantasy violence with, it's kind of a strange movie.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. I Declare War, so that's the checkout. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
In theaters this week, we have this movie called Nebraska.
Nebraska? Woo!
It's a comedy.
That's the Bruce Dern movie. Bruce, have you heard about this one, Curtis?
Will Forte.
I love Bruce Dern, though.
Bob Odenkirk.
Bruce Dern, they're talking about him getting nominated for awards for this because he's so good. It's a black and white movie about he plays an older gentleman who gets in the mail like a publisher's clearinghouse. You may have won $1 million.
Right.
And he's like, I won $1 million. So he starts walking on foot from Nebraska to wherever he has to go to claim his money. And then his son, played by Will Forte, ends up like going along with him and accompanying him.
Oh, okay.
And hilarity ensues.
And hilarity ensues. It's directed by the guy that did The Descendants, the George Clooney movie in Hawaii, and About Schmidt, one of the last Jack Nicholson movies, and Sideways, the one with Paul Giamatti and all the wine. So this guy's a great director.
Yes, he is.
Election with Reese Witherspoon.
I loved Election.
Great
Election.
Movie.
That was his first movie, I think, Alexander Payne.
Wow.
Yeah, so the guy's great. All of his movies are very, very good.
You know, on a side note, Bruce Dern.
Yes.
First time I saw Bruce Dern, I was a kid. My dad would take me, just, you know, father, son, go to the movies.
Yep.
And he wouldn't take me to, like, this Thanksgiving turkey type movie. He would take me to, like, movies that were, like, PG, sometimes R.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I can remember seeing a movie with John Wayne called The Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
I think that's what it was called.
Okay.
And it's a great movie. You really ought to see it. But it's where John Wayne has to get these cattle across the, you know, the plains or whatever. And it's going to be like a month-long thing, and he enlists all these kids.
Yep.
You know, they're all like, you know, preteens and stuff, and he makes cowboys out of them, and Bruce Dern plays the villainous guy.
Nice.
And the thing that I loved about that was, now next to John Wayne, Bruce Dern looks like a 12-year-old girl, you know, back then. You know, he's really
thin guy.
Yeah, thin guy, small of stature, you know, but... Just in his eyes and his kind of caution, you know, his slow, deliberate tone of voice, you were like, oh, man, this guy's bad. This guy's going to be bad news.
Yeah, the demeanor. Yeah.
He was able to convey that. I always liked that about Bruce.
Nice. He's a great actor. He's very good. And he's supposed to be great in this one. So looking forward to checking it out. What else is coming out this weekend?
Your favorite of mine, Best Man Holiday.
Best Man Holiday. This does bring up something real quick. I was thinking about this recently. So it's a sequel to The Best Man. Right? Have you ever seen Best Man?
No, but...
Boris Chestnut and, like, Taye Diggs and all these guys.
No, I know of the movie.
You know of it. It was a pretty popular movie when it came out in the 90s. Like, 99 or something. It's been a while, I think.
Yeah.
So they made a sequel. It's set during Christmas. and they just slapped the word holiday on there.
Yeah.
What if they did that with other movies? What if they did like a Christmas Hangover movie and then just call it the Hangover Holiday?
It would totally work.
That actually would work.
Every time.
What if they did it with like the Wedding Crashers?
Wedding Crashers Holiday.
Wedding Crashers Holiday.
It works.
Yeah.
It works.
Hunger Games 2 Holiday.
Hunger Games Holiday.
It works.
I guess it does work.
It works. Every time.
All right, well. All right, good job, guys. Good job. All right, so there you go. So that's the first half. We got to take a quick break. Got to go to the Crespo Disco. I got an all a cappella Crespo Disco for you guys.
Nice. Oh, you know what the weirdest part about that whole Best Man Holiday thing was?
What?
Was seeing the trailer for it in front of 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, yeah. It's like...
That was
this is your
very odd.
Yeah.
This is your dichotomy of black cinema in America. It's either saccharine, ensemble romantic comedy...
Or slavery.
That's meaningless, or a super heavy slavery movie. Nothing in the middle.
Well, you know, I think, I'm assuming that people are just glad there's more African Americans getting acting work.
They had to fight to get this movie made. It's not like Hollywood ponied up the cash for it. You know, they had to get a lot of outside funding. And the most Hollywood thing about it is Brad Pitt's production company backing it. You know, so
yeah.
It's a struggle still to get movies like that made. And then I hear a lot of people saying like, "Oh, I don't want to go see it because I don't want to be reminded about." The black experience or the slavery, and then
it's a part of American history.
And then these stories aren't going to get told then, and then they're going to get forgotten. And then what happens when history is forgotten? Yes,
and future movies won't get funded.
They won't get made. History gets forgotten, and then it gets repeated. So be careful, people. A cappella Crespo Disco. Here we go. Remember Oh Brother Where Art Thou? Fantastic soundtrack. Got a song from there called Oh Death. To go 12 Years a Slave, I guess. And followed it up with something off the Rocky soundtrack. Frank Stallone, his group.
Take Me Back.
Yes.
Do-do-do-do.
Exactly.
Take me back like before.
Such a good song. Yeah. So there you go. Enjoy those two songs. That's the preview from Curtis. We'll be right back with the second half of episode 44 of Cinema Crespo Disso.
Oh, death. Whoa. Death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk, I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death, oh, death, won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold. Death is a-moving upon my soul. Oh, death, how you treating me? You close my eyes so I can't see. Well, you're hurting my body. You make me cold. You run my life right out of my soul. Oh, death, please consider my age. Please don't take me at this stage. My wealth is all at your command, if you will move your icy hands. Oh, the young, the rich or poor, all alike me, you know. No wealth, no land, no silver, no gold, Nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year?
Do it.
What? Cinema. Crespo. Deezo. Cinema. Crespo. Deezo. Thank you very much.
Take it back. Do 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 do. Take it back. Yeah, 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 yeah. Take it back. Do 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 do. Take it back.
Well, I've been told by
some
people, and they all say to take it back, to take it back like before. I don't call this a reason, I just call it believing in myself.
Take it back, take it back.
Well, push it back. You're pushing me too far. I love you for what I saw before. I squeezed you and I held you, but I could not tell you I love you. You, 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 you,
take you back.
Well, you put me down. You put me down real nice. This love affair, taking the largest slice from my life. As I see it, starting now it's gonna have more meaning, girl. Take it back. If I just take it back, if I just push you back. If I just love you back, take it back.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
All right, welcome to the second half of episode 44 of Cinema Crespo. So it is me, Christopher Crespo, a.k.a. Crespo.
I was hoping you were going to say welcome back again.
Welcome back,
welcome back to the second half. No, Every time.
I was trying to think. I was trying to make sure I wouldn't say that. I said it right this time. I said it properly. That was Drew Cogburn.
How's it going?
How's it going, Drew? Where's Curtis Earth? Curtis.
Thank you. It's great to be here, guys. You know, I really enjoy this podcast. I love this show.
Hey, love having you on, man.
And I'll give a shout out to some of my homies, Big Mike.
Yes.
SBK, Angel, yes. Matt.
All friends of the show.
Yeah.
We're hoping to have Big Mike on next week. I hear he's a little under the weather right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully he's feeling better. Shout out to Big Mike.
Yeah, Big Mike, no matter how he's feeling, he always manages to go to the swamp to hunt a gator.
Good for him.
You know, but now the gator season's over, he can take his sick days.
He can succumb to his illnesses, yeah. Finally. Hopefully we'll get to talk to him about that a little bit next week. Real quick, Curtis, please plug your many wonderful trivia gigs around town.
Thank you. Yeah, you can enjoy, first and foremost, earthtrivia.com is the website.
Okay.
I do a quiz for the Orlando Sentinel every week.
Yes.
That people can take online. And then also I'm on WPRK Radio Thursdays, 5 to 7.
That's a show I call on too.
And Crespo calls in and we talk movies.
And you can listen to that online, WPRK.org?
WPRK.org. Okay. To listen live. Also, every morning you can hear my question of the day on the Erica Lee Show, Wake Up with Erica.
Nice.
At 8:20. Monday through Friday, and win fabulous prizes.
Very nice.
102.5 FM. And in Lakeland, I'm on the Max Morning Show every Wednesday morning for the Octagon of Knowledge segment. And and then, of course, I'm in the restaurants 5 nights a week.
Absolutely. And you're also not just in Florida, too, right?
Yeah, we're also in Washington, D.C.
Nice.
I got Earth Host up there, and then also in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania. We got listeners in both those places, guys. So
right,
if you want to get yourself some real Earth trivia for yourself, go ahead and check those out. It's not just in Florida. It's goddamn international, almost.
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 Yeah.
We'll get it there. We'll get it there.
We just need one more country.
Drew, plugs.
At AndrewHair419 on Twitter and Instagram.
And download Dr. Drew's 2 cents, his bonus episode. Please do. Please do. And of course, you can check out the show on Twitter at CrespoDiso, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Woo! Oh, and shout outs to Luis Modesto at CrazyLoco_. Because remember, we were talking, Drew, on your bonus episode. We got to the very, very end. Yeah. It said, if anyone's listening, send us an email.
Mm-hmm.
Luis sent out an email.
Nice.
Listen to the end. He wanted a shout out. So
he got it.
CrazyLoco_. He's the man. I got some movie news, guys. Some things I think you might find interesting. First off, the Bourne movie. You've got the Jason Bourne films, the first three, and then the Bourne Legacy with Jeremy Renner. Right now they're going into a new direction, but still with the franchise. Are you a fan of those movies, Curtis?
I would say I'm a middle-of-the-road fan.
Okay, you watch them,
but
you're not checking for them.
Right.
Okay. What about you, Drew?
I mean, if it comes out, if it's reviewed well, I'll go see it in theaters. If not, I'll wait. I'm still going to see it.
So any of you guys, if they don't make another Bourne movie, you're not going to cry about
Nope.
it.
Still Bourne, yep.
Well, they got a new director for the new Bourne film, the next installment that's going to star Jeremy Renner again. And it's Justin Lin, the director of Fast and Furious 4, 5, and 6.
Okay.
So that guy, actually, and 3 as well. He did 3 through 6, I believe. So he's taking that clout, that huge clout that he's earned with the Fast and Furious movies for making them as entertaining as they are. And now there are huge worldwide hits thanks to him. For a while, he was attached to doing the new Terminator movie.
Right.
But that fell through scheduling-wise. He wanted to take a little break. It's the same reason why he's not doing the new Fast and Furious, because he wanted to take a break. But they wanted the new one to come out. They were trying to crank him out.
Yeah.
So he's off of that. He got himself a new gig. He's doing the next Bourne movie. And I'm looking forward to seeing how he applies his action style to these movies. Because he's one of our better action directors right
he
now.
Is.
Justin Lin fella.
Because it is a franchise, I'm sure, you know, he's got to step up to the plate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and not screw up the...
He's going to be expected.
You don't want to be that director.
Yeah, exactly. But then he is coming from another successful franchise that he helped build up to what it is. So.
Right.
There is pressure for sure to see if that transfers over, because we are talking different styles of action movies. So can his style translate over? It's like with the new Fast and Furious movie, that's being directed by a guy that did the first Saw movie, and like he does horror films. So this is gonna be his first action movie. How is that style gonna translate over? It's gonna be interesting.
It's daunting when you think of what a director has to do to make a film work, and all the different components and the actors and the people behind the scenes, and you know what I mean?
Yes, like, absolutely. Wow. Especially when it's the bigger the budget and the more pressure is. You know, it's absolutely so. Good luck.
Yeah.
Justin
Can I ask Lin. a technical question? But
yeah,
is it common that the director makes more than anyone in the picture?
No. An actor can easily get paid a lot more because it's very easy to argue that people aren't going to an Iron Man movie to see Jon Favreau direct it.
Right.
They went to go see Robert Downey Jr. act in it.
Right.
So the actors are the ones getting paid the most. Besides them, the producers. They're the ones getting all the back end money.
Exactly.
So the directors, they still get paid a decent amount. I would say your average director can get almost $1 million per picture.
If I was a producer, I would tell the director, maybe this happens. Hey, we're going to give you this percentage of this film, so make it good.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people would love to take that back end. They'll take that gamble, because sometimes you'll get that billion-dollar movie where all of a sudden you have a $50 million payday.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Todd Phillips with the Hangover movies. When he directed those films, he worked out deals to get back end money. So he didn't get paid up front for the first one, and then he ended up getting like $50 million for that Hangover.
Wow.
He kept the deal for the other Hangover movies, so they all make $300 million worldwide. He's getting $30 to $40 million each movie.
That's great.
Good for him.
Yeah, exactly. If you can do it, right? If you can get that money. Speaking of getting that money, someone's not getting that money. Blockbuster. Have you guys heard about Blockbuster?
No.
I heard they're selling their remaining...
Selling. They're done.
Yeah.
They're closing.
Well, who bought them? Someone bought them a couple of years ago.
Dish Network.
That's right.
Dish Network bought them, so now Dish Network are closing them down. I got two articles here. Dish Network to close its remaining U.S. Blockbuster stores... This one had some numbers here. It had roughly, Blockbuster, as of 2005, had 5,500 stores throughout the country.
Mm.
Now, they have about 300.
Yeah.
And they're closing them all by January.
You know, I was happy to see that happen.
I'm fine with it. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because they killed the mom and pop stores. Yeah. And I love those little mom and pop video stores. Yeah. Those are the best.
I remember when they first started coming out, those mom and pop stores.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoyed a great following right away.
Yep.
They were the only place in town that had the movies. I can remember the video discs.
Yeah, the LaserDisc.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. LaserDiscs.
And they would rent you the player, too.
Yeah, they had to, because who the hell had those
things? Yeah, who had to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. now it's Blockbuster getting their own medicine. They put all those stores out of business. Well, now they got put out of business by technology.
That's right.
Because it's all attributed to Netflix and the Redbox kiosks. Those are what people are saying. People are going to those options now instead of going to the brick-and-mortar stores.
Yep.
And so there you go. That's what you get, Blockbuster. Now, there will be about 50 stores left in the country that are franchised or licensed stores. So they're not owned by Dish Network. So those 50 stores are still going to remain operable for as long as they can.
Yeah.
So if there's a Blockbuster near you and it's still open past January, it's one of these babies. Who knows? That'll be... like a landmark, a historical landmark scene. Like, remember back in the day when people had to go to stores to rent their movies?
Yeah.
You know, now people are lazy enough that they just
well, technology.
Download them, you know? Technology.
Yeah, meet you.
Now, I do still have a problem with the way that the technology is going, because while streaming is great and Netflix is awesome and being able to download all this stuff is great, blah, 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 we have HDTV and all these capabilities, HD cable box, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
We're still not getting true HD. You cannot play a movie on Netflix with your best speed internet and all, you have all the best equipment. You can't stream a movie on Netflix and then on the TV next to it play a Blu-ray disc of the same movie and show them side by side. There's no way they're gonna be the same. You know, if you're reading off the physical media right there, you're getting all of the data. But if you're streaming it, I mean, you can get throttled by your internet provider or by whatever service you're getting for your speed. The Netflix, you know, if a lot of people, if you're trying to watch it on Friday night, 30% of the country is using Netflix. So the speed's going to lower. They're not going to give you full HD because they just don't have the bandwidth to do it. It's not going to look as good as just actually having the media and a player that can read the media right there.
Yeah.
That technology is coming, 10 years maybe? Maybe even sooner. But it ain't here now, and that pisses me off.
And, you know, and honestly, I think that'll be perfect timing because the young ones who are getting their Blu-ray and watching the stuff, that will be the standard for them.
It should
be.
Yeah.
We've seen movies in every kind of different way, and
we
want just the content. You know, I love seeing a great, clear movie. Let's fit, but I don't require it. You know what I mean?
Because you're used to seeing like dubbed VHSs like bad tracking and stuff.
Oh, dude, that's how. Remember watching Jason X?
It was all dubbed and
it was so terrible.
It was just bad quality, but it's true. Let's just watch this movie anyway.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that's technology. It's a good, but it's a bad. I don't know why. I'm sorry about
it's
that.
It's a spaghetti time.
Oh, spaghetti time.
Spaghetti time is right, Curtis.
Juicer Cogburn spaghetti time. Juicer Cogburn spaghetti time. It's time for some Juicer Cogburn versus the world. The rematch.
The spaghetti time edition.
Oh, man. What time? All right, well, let's see. Where's this game? Game somewhere around here. We got a whole new Juicer Cogburn versus the world. The last time you guys played, it came down to the tiebreaker. It was super close, but Curtis, you won. Since then, Drew has.
I want my revengeance.
Drew wants his revengeance. Since then, he has fixed his record. You see that 8-7, over 500.
Correct.
May I wear gloves?
Can you wear gloves?
Yeah.
We request that you wear gloves. You don't want to cut each other up here as a new battle. This week's Juicer Cogburn versus the World. And we'll see if we can try to get through this one kind of quickly. This is a game we've played before, Drew. You may remember it. It's called Think of the Children. I give you the movie. You give me the rating. So I'll tell you what the name of the movie, and you tell me if it's G, PG, PG-13, R, or NC-17, or X. I mean, I count those two as pretty much being the same thing. So, Drew, do you remember who won? Did you win last time against whoever you played?
Last time, I have no idea.
Last time was, who was our last guest?
It was a while ago.
It was a few weeks ago.
Don't remember.
Don't even remember.
Nope.
So then we'll just go with the guest. Curtis.
Yes.
We have two sets of movies, Group A and Group B. Which group do you want?
A.
All right, we'll start you with Group A. I'm going to tell you the movie, you tell me the rating. You ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. Number one, Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back.
PG.
That is correct. It's rated PG for sci-fi action violence. Number two, Forrest Gump.
PG.
Ooh, that is incorrect. I'm sorry. It is rated PG-13 for drug content, some sensuality, and war violence.
Okay.
Okay. Number three, Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
PG-13.
Ooh, that is rated R for strong sci-fi action and violence. And for language.
Well, this is a complete catastrophe.
You can still turn it around. Number four, Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector.
PG-13.
PG-13 is correct. It's PG-13 for crude and sexual content and for language. So, two right, two wrong. Going into your last one, Toy Story.
G.
That is correct. It is rated G. And it's just, there's no reasoning for rating a G. It's rated G for being non-threatening. So there you go. So you got...
There were some harrowing moments in there, though.
The third one has some...
Oh, my moments. God.
I'm surprised that one's not. That one's good still Lord. G. That one should be PG. Because there's definitely stuff in there that would scare kids, I think.
Dude, they thought they were going to die.
Yeah, they were going to be in a burning inferno of hell.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, so you're at 3-2. Good job. Drew, you got to get four right.
Win.
4 out of 5, buddy. Yeah,
4 to win.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
Tropic Thunder.
Noonan.
PG-13.
Oh, it was rated R for pervasive language.
I'm sure.
Including sexual references, violent content, and drug material.
Sweet.
Number two, Groundhog Day.
PG.
That is correct. It's PG for some thematic elements, which surprised me. I thought it would be PG-13. Because thematic elements, that doesn't really cover it. I mean, there's one part where he gets laid and
I think those for the time frame.
Possible. Number three, Rocky.
The poster's behind me. God damn it.
Yeah, but there's no rating. There's no rating on there, so you're good. You can look at it if you want all day long.
All right,
check
man.
To make sure there's no
Rocky. PG.
Rated PG is correct. And this is done before a time when there was no explanation, so it was just PG. So you got two right so far. Number four, The Simpsons Movie. Thinking hard.
PG?
That is incorrect. It's PG-13 for irreverent humor throughout, which is another one I think it's misleading because... At one point, you see Bart's penis, and Homer's giving people the bird, and Otto's smoking a bong.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. They should have been a little more clear about why it was PG-13, if you ask me. But, all right, so 2-2. Here you go. You got to get this one right just to tie it, Drew. How are we going to come down to another tiebreaker situation? Here we go. Number five, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Fantastic film, Bill Murray.
Damn, I know, it's so good.
So good.
PG-13.
Oh, it's rated R for language, drug use, violence, and partial nudity.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm taking off the gloves.
Curtis wins!
Yes!
2-0 against Drewster Cogburn. Congratulations, Curtis.
Take that, movie boy.
And the tiebreaker question, if we had to get to it, was how much did Tropic Thunder make at the U.S. box office? You guys want to take a guess?
It's sure. 80 million.
80 million, Curtis?
Tropic Thunder, I'm going to say 70 million.
Oh, it made $110 million. Whoa, successful nice. Film there, Tropic Thunder. Curtis wins. Good job, Curtis.
Thank you very much, Drew.
Good game, sir.
Not that I'm keeping score, but
it's 2-0.
The second.
Yeah, it's 2-0.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm keeping score. So there you go. Drew is now back at 500, 8-8.
Well, you could tell, though, from our handshake just now, my palms were sweating.
Yes.
I honestly was sweating this
Curtis
segment.
Takes trivia very seriously.
Hey, so do I. And I'm always, you know, it's always rough going up against the master of trivia.
That is
bro.
True. Trivia does loom large in my life.
Yes. It's almost unfair.
So we're going to have...
I should have some sort of handicap.
No. Your handicap is that every other guest should have the handicap because you're on the movie show.
Yes.
Right?
Damn it.
But there is no handicap.
Like, I feel I won by many more points.
Actually. That was another close one. That was a very... You guys, battle, man. I like the battle.
Yeah.
And we will have guests here pretty much for every show for the rest of 2012. The rest of 2013.
Awesome. The rest of 2012. Last. We're going back in time to when we didn't even have a podcast.
Going back in. So, yeah, your score...
My calendar says we're going to die.
Your record is going to be changing quite a bit over the next few weeks. So, here we go. Back to the news. Got a few more things here. Marvel and Netflix join forces to develop historic four-series epic, plus a mini-series event. They put out a...
What is it?
Well, they put out a press release here, so let me see if I can scan through it real quick. Blah, 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 blah. Walt Disney and Netflix announced an unprecedented deal for Marvel TV to bring multiple original series of live-action adventure of four of Marvel's most popular characters exclusively to Netflix in 2015.
What characters?
Led by a series focused on Daredevil.
Okay, so they're revamping Daredevil as TV as opposed to a movie. Next.
Followed by Jessica Jones...
What?
Bridget Jones's kid.
Maybe. Iron Fist?
Really?
And Luke Iron Cage. Fist.
Well, wow. Really?
Really. Those are the four TV shows that they're going to be working on for
Netflix. They're doing Luke Cage for the black audience.
Right.
Iron Fist, that's a strange one. He's kind of, it's like mystic-y and kung fu, but he's a white guy.
Interesting.
And he's got this weird dragon tattoo on his chest and a really low, he's got a really deep V in his costume.
He's the man with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, it's weird.
And these characters, blah, 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 pioneering agreement calls for Marvel to develop, culminating with Marvel's The Defenders miniseries event that reimagines a dream team of self-sacrificing heroic characters. So this is building up to a TV show they're calling The Defenders.
Interesting. I don't know anything about The Defenders.
Well, that's the big deal. That's what happens when Marvel gets bought by Disney. And now they have billions and billions of dollars to play with.
Uh-huh.
It's a pretty big deal. I mean, Netflix, that's part of why...
That's big money.
That's why Blockbuster isn't working anymore, Curtis, because Netflix is getting into a game like this where now they're developing original content. They're getting into a movie game.
They're wise to do this. They keep adapting. That's what Blockbuster did wrong. They're like,
exactly. Correct. They were late adapters.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't see the coming technology and how they could, kind of interweave their
I mean, that,
they tried.
Netflix was doing DVD by mail by the late 90s. Blockbuster didn't get into that game until like 2005, 2006.
Blockbuster tried to get into the Redbox game too.
They tried, they had a bunch of Blockbuster kiosks out there, and people were like, I don't want to go through Blockbuster again, you know?
Exactly.
It's so annoying. Yeah. Toxic brand.
Well, you know, what I think what really did Blockbuster in, at least as far as I'm concerned as a consumer, was when... you know, you got these late charges, which I understand the late charge. You got to bring it back. But then they did away with late charges, but they had restocking fees or something like that.
Yes.
And I'm like, all right, screw you.
Or they just charge you for the movie. And I got a thing in the mail once, a Blockbuster one over by UCF, which I think they're closed by now, so screw you guys. Good for you. Turned me over to a credit agency, a collection agency. For,
$8?
Yeah, it was like $12.
Oh, man.
And I got this shit in the mail, and I wrote on my check. I wrote him a check, and then I wrote in the memo section, like, screw you, or this really nasty note to you guys, like, I fucking hate you guys, hate Blockbuster, fuck you all.
After that,
I canceled out my Blockbuster membership, and at that time, that was like 03. I didn't have one for years after that. And then I got one for a short time again, because I lived by a store.
Right.
But then I moved away, and now they're done, so screw you guys.
That's right. Good riddance.
Good riddance, the bad rubbish. All right, I got a couple questions here, and then we're going to close out the show. At @NathanWilliams_ has this question. I found this one interesting. Best movie deleted scenes.
Oh.
That's an interesting one.
The entire part of Kingdom of Heaven that was cut out.
Have you ever seen Kingdom of Heaven?
From the original movie that's not the director's cut. There's like... entire like plot points and major characters and like this whole subplot completely cut out of the theatrical version.
It's ridiculous.
And it makes like you watch the theatrical version, you're like, this movie sucks ass. Ridley Scott, you're a fool. And then it comes out on DVD and the director's cut and you watch it and you're like, Ridley Scott, you're amazing.
It's like this movie, 35 minutes longer.
This movie is fantastic. It all the holes are plugged up, and it's...
They managed to cut out the emotional heart of the movie when they put it out in theaters. It's incredible. They were like, oh, this little subplot doesn't matter a thing. But when they took it out, they took out all the emotion of the film.
Well,
when
they put it back, how is it that we see that, but these guys in the movie business...
Yeah,
they,
I don't know.
No, what they see is dollar signs, okay? So what they saw, instead of this 30 minutes is crucial to the story instead of plot, instead of seeing that, they saw this 30 minutes is preventing us from putting this movie on one more showing a day. We want to show this movie 5 times a day, but at that running running length, we can only show it four times.
Yeah.
So we need to shorten it so we can show it more so we can make more money. And then we'll put out the director's cut, and then people will buy two versions of the DVD, and we'll make even more money then. Oh, yeah. That's what they're thinking.
So more of a commodity than a piece of art.
That's all they see. The money people, the people holding the purse strings, and for obvious reasons, see it as money, whereas the artists, the directors and the writers, see it as art.
Yeah.
And then when those things meet in the middle, ugly things happen, like entire parts of movies getting cut out. So that's actually a good example of a good deleted scene. Can you think of any, like a deleted scene that you came across and you're like, why the hell was this cut out?
Not of this intensity.
He's talking about an entire movie.
But
yeah.
I remember seeing, I like those Christopher Guest movies where they kind of improvise everything.
Uh-huh.
And in Best in Show, the dog movie.
Probably his most popular one.
Yeah.
It's always on Comedy Central.
Christopher Guest plays, kind of a backwoods guy.
With a basset hound.
A bloodhound or whatever.
And so
he likes to take the dog out into the woods before they head to the dog show each year.
Yeah.
You know, and just get him, kind of refreshed and stuff. And as they're walking back, the deleted scene, which I thought would have been great in a movie, he goes, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm a collector. And they show him walking to this big shed, and he opens it up, and all these beach balls come out. He goes, now this one is a double stitch from 1971. This is one of my favorites.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's really good. Along those lines, there are some great deleted scenes on the This Is Spinal Tap DVD. Like whole sequences that are super funny that just got cut out, because of pacing reasons and... jokes that have been done over before, but I guess anything Christopher Guest related will have that kind of stuff going for it, right?
Oh yeah, I've seen those deleted scenes on Spinal Tap where they're in the hot tub.
And actually, they cut out a lot of the stuff that involved them having herpes. It's weird. They're like, you know what? Let's tone this herpes thing down, implying that they're either sharing women or they're with each other because they keep getting the outbreaks on it's kind of like hilarious. The Young Frankenstein, the hump on the back. You know, it's kind of like that sort of joke.
I was listening to a Kiss song the other day.
Uh-huh.
Somehow it got on my Pandora, and I used to love Kiss. I used to really be in that band, but it the song was God of Thunder.
Yes,
and the words are so bombastic and kind of like
they're over the top.
You're teenager forever type lyrics. And it made me think that Spinal Tap movie, they must have just modeled it on the band
totally.
Kiss.
Absolutely.
They must have been a big influence.
Yeah.
But you won't find out by watching the commentary track on This Is Spinal Tap, because one of the best... Now we're, all right.
I've watched that too.
You see the commentary track?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's actually the guys doing it in character? It's... On the DVD, there's a couple of them, and there's one where it's the band, the three guys in the band, but they do the whole thing in character
as if they are
the band.
Right, right.
It's like it's a whole new movie watching it, because they're commentating on as if everything was real, and it's just joke after joke. Oh, my God. Yeah. So great.
The guy that plays David St. Hubbins.
Michael McKean.
Michael McKean, yeah. He's just so...
And Harry Shearer, going back to The Simpsons.
Fantastic.
As Derek Smalls, oh my God.
Yeah.
And they're talking about the DVD, and like the menu pops up on the DVD itself.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just super black. He's like, it's black, blacker than the blackest black.
Yeah.
None more black. So I like that. Very good. That's very good. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
so ridiculous. I like that, after the band broke up, we joined a Christian heavy metal band called Lamb's Blood.
Oh, man. Those guys are so funny. It's so good. All right, so moving on. At Matt Celery, he's asking, this question is, let's see here. Oh, newest Hunger Games movie, give a fuck or give no fucks? Drew?
I mean, I think that the production design is going to be top-notch as always.
Oh, it always looks good.
Other than that, don't give two shits.
Doesn't give two shits. Curtis.
Or a fuck.
Or if those that give two shits or a fuck. Curtis, Hunger Games movies, do you give a fuck about them or no?
No, I hope I never see another one.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow. You're that done with them.
Yeah. I don't like kids offing themselves.
That's right. We talked about that on your show. Yeah, the whole kid violence thing.
Yeah, it leaves a weird feeling.
Understandable. It's not for everyone.
Yeah.
I guess in the long run, I don't give a fuck. I give no... I give half a fuck.
Okay.
Because it is a movie. It's a big budget movie. The story is evolving, so I want to see what the next phase of the story is. It's a different director this time around, so I'm interested in that. So I give half a fuck.
Half a fuck.
Half a fuck.
It's an amount.
And then finally here we got I believe we do have a Billy D question. Let's pull it up here, and here we go. Billy Dee, our New York City show correspondent and also horror expert and also show artist, creative artist team.
Yes, sir. He is one half of the creative team.
Hey, guys. Sorry I've been away. Reports of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. I guess the biggest news to come out of Tinseltown for this week was the announcement of the release for Star Wars Episode 7, December 18th, 2015. The movie's coming out around Christmas of 2015. Breaking with over 30 years of tradition and the creation of the summer blockbuster, this is the only Star Wars movie to not come out in May. Thoughts? The Force be with you, Billy Dee. That is a pretty good question, Billy. Thanks. So every Star Wars movie has always come out during the summer. Like he said,
summer blockbuster.
Between the first Star Wars and Jaws, both coming out during the summer and being huge, it started the summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
I think every chance that they've had, Star Wars comes out around May the 4th. For obvious reasons. May the 4th be with you. That whole little joke.
Oh, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Whenever I see people tweeting that out, every May the 4th, everyone tweets out like
the 4th be with you.
Like it's the like they're the first person to think of that, you know, and to put that out there. So my favorite thing is the next day I'll do May the 5th be with you. Wait, question? You know, like I think I screwed up.
Are you a Fifth Lord?
I guess. Oh, take that, nerds. Nerd alert. Drew set off the nerd alarm. So this is the first Star Wars now. It's coming out in December. The reason they're doing this is because they don't think they can have it ready by May 2015. But Disney absolutely wants this movie to come out in May 2015 because they have a grand plan. They want Episode 7, 2015. 2016, they want another Star Wars movie. 2017, like another, because they want to do a Yoda movie. They want to do a Han Solo movie. Then they want to do Episode 8 coming out by like 2017, 2018. They have this plotted out for years now. I mean, Disney put $4 billion into Star Wars. So it's not something where they can be like, again, for artistic purposes, oh, we can delay this so you guys can get the script right. Disney doesn't give a shit about the script. Yeah. They give a shit about the merchandising rights. They want new characters
which they can sell toys.
Exactly.
But, you know, it seems like Star Wars fans are really, really judgmental about that kind of stuff.
Absolutely.
And about, like, when they feel they've been gypped in a movie comes out, Star Wars, they'll just talk about it forever. And I think if they water it down, if they, you know, more than they have.
Yeah.
You're going to... I think there's a possibility to lose this.
Continue diluting the influence to the point where it's not the behemoth that it once was. It's possible.
We're killing it slowly.
I've sworn off Episodes 1, 2, and 3. They don't exist in my mind.
They do not exist. He wrote all the prequels off. So we'll see with these new ones. J.J. Abrams, he's a decent director. A lot of people like him a lot more than I generally like him. But we'll see. We'll see. Maybe he'll make a good movie. He is co-writing Episode 7 with Trek Wars. He is co-writing Episode 7 with Lawrence Kasdan, who helped write who helped write Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, and I think he even might have directed Return of the Jedi. So this guy has been, you know, with Star Wars from the beginning. So if he's getting the right people working with him, you know, so
it's a good sign.
It is a good sign. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, but you know, I would not be surprised if it's a hunk of shit. So we'll see. December 2015. All right, those are all the questions. Curtis, lightning round time, buddy.
Let's do it.
I got 10 questions for you. Here we go. Drew, start the lightning round clock, if you don't mind.
Get my gloves on.
Gloves back on. And
ready?
Ready?
Set.
Yeah. Number one, celebrities selling credit cards. Cool or not cool?
I'm not cool.
Number two, what makes a good trivia question? 5 words or less.
Something familiar yet hard to reach.
Six words.
Oh, you lose.
Number three, what is your bowling average score?
Oh, I think I'm a 160.
Oh, it's not bad.
It's not bad. It's good.
Number four, would you rather fight off a horde of zombies or one witch?
One witch.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, number five.
I got skills.
All I need is a really big house.
Die Hard movies. Should they keep making them?
No.
Number six, coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Number seven, who is your favorite U.S. president?
My favorite U.S. president... you know, I like Jimmy Carter. It's not that he did a bunch of great things for the country or whatever. I like that guy.
He's a peanut farmer.
Right on. Number eight, name three cartoon dogs.
Let's see. That would be Clifford.
Okay.
Pluto.
Okay.
And Crypto.
Correct. Crypto. I like Crypto.
Yes.
And number nine, what is your favorite room in the house?
My art room.
And number 10, we're going to play Kiss, Marry, Kill with Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, or John Voight. Between those three old sourpuss right-wing men.
Kiss, marry them, or
kiss
them?
Kiss, would you rather kiss them? You know, yeah. Kiss them, right?
Kiss, marry, kill.
Try to clean this up at some point. Kiss, marry, or kill. Tommy Lee Jones, Clint Eastwood, John Voight, go.
Oh, this is tough.
Yes, it is.
All right, kiss.
Who'd you kiss?
Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Okay, so who are you going to marry then?
Who are you going to marry? Tommy Lee Jones, John Voight.
Tommy Lee Jones.
So you're going to kill John Voight?
Yeah, he's going.
He's
down.
Dead.
He's done. Yeah. I guess I can.
I'm going to have to. I would agree with him, but I'd switch the kiss and marry. Well, then John Voight dies.
If you switch him, then you don't agree with him.
Yeah. I agree.
Disagree.
I agree that John Voight dies.
Okay, so you agree with one of us.
Yes.
John Voight. Sorry, John. You're dead. So there you go. That was a lightning round. Thank you, Curtis. I appreciate it very much.
That was the toughest thing I've ever done today.
It's super. Oh, hopefully, it will be remaining the toughest thing you've ever done. Actually, another tough thing you got to do, you got to pick one of those three bags right behind you. Just go ahead and choose the color. Get your Crespo Diesel swag bag.
Oh, man.
You got light blue, you got green, you got pink.
I'm going to go with the pink because I think you probably put better stuff in here because you didn't think I'd.
You know what? You did get probably the worst swag bag ever.
Ever.
But with the best movie because you got Easter Plus.
Oh, that was good. I still watch that one.
Yeah, so it's a good movie.
I think this bag's going to be a little bit better. Let's see. You got a copy of Abraxas,
yes!
Guardian of the Universe, starring Jesse Ventura.
Oh, wow. Say no more.
Jesse Ventura. Sci-fi action movie.
Abraxas.
Okay, this is where we go. This is actually
he was in Macbeth. He was unbelievable.
In Macbeth?
In Macbeth.
Was it Kenneth Branagh's Macbeth?
Everything should be Kenneth Branagh's Macbeth. You get
Holy
a
Shores, Macbeth.
Party glow light stick there.
You
get
like
your party
that.
On. And at the same time, you can use some squiggle straws to drink things in a
These
fun way.
These never get old, the squiggle straws.
Nope,
they never do they? I know you're a musician, so you got a harmonica.
I love this harmonica.
There you go, a nice plastic.
Don't leave it in the sun.
Do not, please don't. Or in the shade. Who knows what'll happen. Here we go. Bag of skulls.
A bag of skulls.
You never know when you're going to need a bag of skulls, Curtis.
Party City, love you.
I got you a bandit wristband. This one says hope.
Nice.
So
well, it actually says hop, but okay, there.
Oh, there's
there
the E's
go.
On the other
it's
side. It's off to the side. And here we go. Got you a Crespo Diesel sticker as well. Actually,
nice.
A couple stickers and these as well. So there you go, buddy.
Thank you very much, guys.
You're
hope
welcome,
you, hope you enjoy your swag bag. Hope you find use for all that stuff. What did I get you last time? A mug and some marbles?
It was marbles, definitely. It was a woman's mug.
Yes, like something world's like, greatest grandmother or something.
Yeah, somewhere menopause or born to shop.
Oh, man. Well, Curtis, it was a pleasure, man.
Yeah, thank you both.
You're very welcome,
I really
sir.
Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Crespo.
The Crespo.
The Crespo.
Big shout out to Billy D.
Yes.
North.
Billy D up in NYC.
Thank you, Billy D. Since the end of episode 44, we'll be back next week, episode 45, with hopefully Big Mike, fingers crossed.
Fangs crossed.
We'll try to get that all shored up. And, yeah, I guess that's it. Oh, real quick, SBK Live Friendsgiving. When is that, Drew? That's really soon.
That is Wednesday, November 20th at Elixir Downtown.
Elixir Barroom Downtown.
Bring three canned goods or some sort of donation. You got information on the website.
Curtis, I know you're a super busy guy with Earth Trivia, but Wednesday night, if you're free, it would be cool to see you at Elixir.
I'll be right down the road, so I'll probably I do a show downtown on Wednesday. So I'll
probably
walk up after the show.
Yeah,
come very nice.
About 11.
Yep. Come say I have a beer.
We'll all be there.
Awesome. Right. So, yeah, bring a toy, bring a friend, and have your friend bring a toy. Because,
or food.
Or food, right?
Food, yeah. Three canned goods.
Oh, the toy drive is going to be something
toy drive,
nice.
Yeah, toy drive is,
doing a toy
is
drive,
Christmas.
Doing a toy drive at my job, too.
Canned good
toy,
drive.
There's actually, at my job, it's a toy drive / canned good drive.
I know this is. I know this
is a charity everywhere you look. This
is a canned good drive, or on the website, I guess there's a list of things, other things you can donate as well.
Oh, there you go. All right, it's on SBK.
Yeah, something like that.
SBK Live Radio.
Yeah, there's information somewhere.
Charity.
Yes, charity. Tis the season, sir.
Tis the season to give your shit away, people. So get on it. By the way, if you have a laptop you want to give away to Drew Sikogar,
I can totally use one.
At gmail.com because you can use one. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. We'll be back next week.
And don't forget to check out the new Exorcist Holiday.
Yes. Exorcist Holiday Edition.
Yes. Can't wait. So good. Thanks a lot, guys.